Hey, Bob WP here, and welcome to the WordPress Way, a Do the Woo podcast show. This show is brought to you by Kinsta, with the highest rating on G2 in the Manage WordPress Hosting category, and our partner Woo, where you can find all you need for your client sites at the WooCommerce Marketplace. Tell you more about them later in the show, but let's jump into the WordPress Way.
Hi, I'm your host, Birgit, and we are here with another The WordPress Way, where we dive deep into the heart and soul of WordPress, exploring the cutting edge and the current with the incredible people shaping its future. And I'm very pleased today to have our beloved friend, or my beloved friend as a guest, Annemieke Bobbelet. Anna is a passionate multilingual specialist for both WordPress and accessibility in Germany. And Anna is also an accessibility consultant, public speaker, and a WordPress trainer, and specifically for the full site editing. Please, dear Anna, would you like to tell our audience a bit more about you?
Well, you already gave me a very good introduction. Maybe it's also good to know, given the topic of our show today, to tell the people a bit about the other side of my background. So I come from a bit of a crazy family, you know. I like to joke about it in my bio, saying I come from a family of crazy artists and professors and inventors. But it's not really exaggerated. That's what it is. And all my life, I grew up with my mother and father not telling me, oh, be careful what you do. You might run into this and this kind of trouble. But they taught us, if you want to reach something, go find out what you need to do to get there. Now, that in itself is very positive, but if you're like me and you've got ADHD, you're going to end up running around, jumping from topic to topic, thinking, this is it, this is it, and then changing your mind after a year or a year and a half. But a steady factor in my life has been the everything involving web creation, web design, content, all of that. And 4 years ago, I ran into that famous topic called accessibility, and I came home. Yeah, that's basically, if I'm going to talk more, I'm going to probably ruin your question.
No worries. I love to listen to you. I also really admire your being so vocal about the accessibility, especially for someone with neurodivergent traits. And given from our conversations in between, when we meet on WordCamps or CloudFest, the strengths you provide in raising the awareness about the accessibility part, and also for inclusive language and how to design a website with some small tweaks sometimes only needed to create a better experience for everyone on the website. And you mentioned recently that you come from a history of creative artists, crazy artists. Would you mind sharing more about your personal journey that led you to be an advocate for accessibility and focusing on ADHD and neurodiversity? You mentioned you are also diagnosed with ADHD. How did you find your way besides giving the talk? But is there anything in your professional life or your personal life which gave already the moment to go into this direction?
Well, interestingly enough, I was already thinking about accessibility when I am very active on Twitter. When I saw this tweet from a lady, I've written that in my blog. I can share the link with you later on if you like. This tweet from this lady, and I keep repeating this in every podcast, so people must be pretty sick of me now. Listen to all of those, but I keep saying it. She wrote this tweet where she said, my father was crying on the phone. He needed help to do something on the web. again because he's blind. And if you are now wondering if your website is accessible, then it certainly is not. Go learn. And I still get very emotional when I think back of that because I've read and heard more about accessibility. I've been working with people who depend on accessibility in the team of CMS Made Simple, my previous CMS of choice, along with WordPress. But it never hit close to home. And then it hit close to home. So there I went into a frenzy thinking, oh no, you've been creating experiences for people feeling unwelcome because they couldn't use the sites that you have created. And I'd been doing that since 1998. So that was a painful 22 years of doing something that could have been done better. And secondly, that same year, I got diagnosed with ADHD. I was 49. And I've led a life of many hats. I have many specialties, which you will see more in people with ADHD, because one of the things that we apparently chase is this substance called dopamine. Okay. And we don't know that most of the time. So we are being called lazy or finicky or whatever, right? And people are telling us you need to learn to focus. The problem is, when I speak for myself, I can focus all right. I can focus 12 hours in a row and forget to eat and to drink, to do what I'm doing at that moment. But I do not always have a choice what I'm focusing on. And this I didn't know. So my whole life, my whole career, especially when I was still employed, I've been employed until 2008. And I started my full-time business until in 2009. But when I was still employed, I always struggled fitting in. It was nearly impossible. And I remember feeling awe of all these super organized people who would get their tasks done and tick off their to-do lists. And I would freeze up in stuff that they would do in a few minutes. But I also saw that I was the one being able to manage very stressful situations or complex stuff where they were like, oh no, I don't know how to do this. Now, it sounds a bit dramatic, but to me, the world has often felt like a very hostile place because I couldn't do things normal people can do. You know, it's pretty hard if you're being judged as a goldfish that you can't climb in a tree. When you grow up like that and you have no idea that this is what is happening and that you are different because the chemistry in your brain is different, it's very easy to slip into trying to be what others want you to be, to wear that suit, to mask. Masking is a very big thing. Now, it turns out I'm not only having ADHD, I'm also on the spectrum, which explains some other quirks that I have. But I don't let these things define me. It was a massive relief to learn about the ADHD in the first place, because suddenly I realized, like, I'm trying to change things about myself that I can't change. I will never be that goldfish that will win a contest in climbing a tree, but I can do other things. And one of my biggest topics has always been community. I mean, I can do stuff for myself. I can be successful as a solopreneur. I can make a living. It's never been a problem. But if you can do something that benefits an entire group of people while you're still being able to make a living off of that, I think that's more fulfilling than anything else. I mean, I have lived riches. I have been through bankruptcy almost 25 years ago. I've lived both sides of the kind of life that people look at from a distance, you know. And I can tell you, having this community thing is really, really satisfying. And it's not even from a philanthropic point of view. It's just because that's what it is. And so another problem that you can run into when you have ADHD is that you easily get bored. On average, I've been a recruiter for 8 years, and I have seen this on other people's resumes who are just like me. On average, we tend to have a lot of jobs on our resume, a lot of functions, a lot of, we learn fast, we get bored fast. And when I started working with inaccessibility, I was worried because I am aware that I can motivate a large crowd of people. It's difficult if you do that and then topple off yourself. So one of the things that is also a red line in everything I do, and now also in accessibility, is how do I make myself replaceable? And so I started looking for what can I mean in the community in regard to digital accessibility. I mean, yeah, sure, I could become a tester. I can, an auditor, you know, I could focus on all kinds of specialties. But I see that there are struggling groups in so many companies. And that's where I found my holy grail. That one, that part, that one thing that doesn't bore me. And it worked. It hasn't bored me in the past 4 years. I see and hear and learn new things every day. And I have a lot of interaction with a lot of people. And although I find that very hard sometimes, people don't notice it, but I'm absolutely introverted. But I'm loud. I'm very present. So people are like, oh yeah, it's so easy for you to get on a stage and talk or talk in a podcast like we do now. There are days that I just want to go lie in bed under the covers and don't come out for a week, right?
I can so relate on that feeling.
So I had to find myself in a world like where can I spend my energy the most efficient and have people benefit from that as much as possible. And then I discovered that in many ways, digital accessibility is a feared topic simply because it's unknown, right? And which is now a shocker to many because next year there is some heavy legislation coming into effect called the European Accessibility Act. Here in Europe, we hear about the ADA and 508 compliance in the US. But for us in Europe, that used to be like, yeah, that's in far away, Stan. That doesn't concern us, which is worrying in itself. But, you know, and then now in Europe, it becomes a reality and it becomes a topic of fear. And there is nothing as demotivating as fear, and nothing as boring as legislation. People are leaning back and saying, yeah, I don't know, is it worth investing in? And there I found it. I coach and I guide people and companies to see how to chop up the responsibility for accessibility. It is something that you do together. It's not just one person doing it. It is every team has its own part. So the one thing that I am doing, this is what made me go where I am today. And it's joyful to see. I work with a company in Munich. They are, they're called Grade. They're creating something called Grade Suite. When I met them 2 years ago, I said, oh, I would like to become a customer of yours, but are you going to create accessibility ready output? And they were like, yeah, let's do that. I mean, of course, it's a longer story behind it, but they were willing to do so. And I see more and more companies doing it now. And it's fantastic to see this whole movement starting up. For example, Equalize Digital, Amber Hins, Chris Hins, Steve Jones, with this fantastic plugin called the Accessibility Checker that you can install in WordPress. And it will automatically check for you whether you can improve things on a technical level. And which will dig up like 30 to 35% of all issues that you can have in accessibility. And that's where the scary part is, right? This is where people say, oh, only 35%? What about the other 65%? Ooh, now we're scared again. And the issues, I'm talking about the kind of issues. I'm not talking about the number of issues. It's about the kind. And most issues are so easy to resolve if done by the person who knows what he's doing. So designer do designer, contenters do content. I don't know, contenters is of course a non-existent word, but you people know what I mean. And the same for developers. This is a fantastic process. I really love it, especially when, for example, I'm talking to former customers and someone from development tells me, hey, and you got to hear this. I got this design from the department and I saw like, oh, maybe that contrast is not so nice. And then I'll be like, and how did you tell them that? Because this is a very important thing in all company processes, but in accessibility, maybe even more because it's such a sensitive topic. It's not what you say. It's how you say it. In French, they say, c'est le ton qui fait la musique. It's the tone that determines the sound of the music. And then I'm so proud that they picked up on what we had been talking about for all these months. I said, no, I've been careful. And I said, listen, look, if you look at it like this, or did you check this with a contrast checker? Did you check it in black and white? Fantastic. You know, and that is really fulfilling.
That's amazing. When I was listening to you, I had some image in my mind, call it my neurodivergent traits. Someone with ADHD and living on a spectrum, we sometimes have this broader perspective. Do you feel sometimes you have some kind of a bird's eye view on some topics and you're more able to connect dots where others maybe don't see it? That is a feeling I often encounter, that some having some kind of a quick reference sheet to have it on a glance, for instance, and then diving deep. I experience my neurodivergent traits. I'm not tested or diagnosed, but I guess I have some form of neurodivergent traits. And I see sometimes, or more often, this being on the surface, on a broader surface. But when you see something which is sparking your interest, you dive deep. And that is what you mentioned with this focus, being focused on a certain topic. But it's more like sometimes also I am feeling sometimes like a butterfly going from one flower to another, or like a busy bee, which creates a tasty honey on the end. So, but it is, as you mentioned, this route into the accessibility, it's one form is the more visible and more tangible form of accessibility for someone who needs assistive technology, like screen readers or visually impaired and need better contrast on a website. But going on the route on neurodivergency, there are so many people which have cognitive issues to comprehend the content. So what are your recommendations on how to create content and how to structure content for that it's better digestible? Because it's for someone who may have issues in reading and understanding context in a big block of text, which may have been better with some visual elements in between.
If you are looking for hosting via cloud servers for your client sites, consider checking out Kinsta. With their container technology, you are assured of no shared resources. Plus, you get global CDN, edge caching, and Cloudflare Enterprise for all your sites. It doesn't stop there, though. Auto backup, staging, plug-in vulnerability alerts, and uptime monitoring comes with 24/7 support that you can expect from humans. Add to this, for agencies, look into their partner programs with some nice extras, plus an account manager and custom plans to meet the needs of your client's sites. All this and more, just head over to kinsta.com. As a product builder, expand your business with the WooCommerce Marketplace. Woo powers over 3.6 million sites, and with 940 plus products in their marketplace, it has a 95% satisfaction rate with their marketplace partners. What does this mean? You'll reach a larger user base, you'll enjoy extra exposure and promotional opportunities, be able to access product insights, and get the Woo seal of approval. Just head over to WooCommerce.com and discover how you can be a marketplace partner.
But what are your recommendations how to approach this way to create content so it's better digestible from your experience?
It's a very broad question because I would have to put on different hats, right? Seeing the big picture, I'm not always seeing the smallest detail. So the sacred word for a lot of people with my combination of conditions, I would say, quote unquote, because I don't feel them as conditions. I'm just different. But in this society, we're considered to have conditions. Okay. And I know for some, and this is the target group we're talking about also online, it gets so bad that they do not function in a way that is healthy or normal in society. And a lot of websites, apps make their life very difficult. And it makes my life difficult too. So my perspective on everything that I'm going to tell you now is coming from that, right? So a lot of neurodivergent people, especially the ones with ADHD and the ones being on the spectrum, is we are super fast thinkers. Our brain goes 500 miles an hour, as I like to say. And as long as there's context, that is fine. When you have the context, this is where it's really easy to connect dots and see things that others may not see. A problem is because your brain is going so fast and because you do connect those dots, others do not connect. It is incredibly difficult to translate this to a message that is understandable for others. I know I am often caught rambling. I'm rambling on and on and on and on. And I see all the logic and others are like, man, you lost me half an hour ago, which is an essential thing here, saying you lost me. Okay. So many sites and apps, but let's stick to websites and let's stick to e-commerce because we are on Deliveroo, right? They lose us within seconds. So one of the things that I, for example, experience, and I know a lot of people experience, which is not measurable, is not having great filters in our brain, right? There are people, you know, these clothing stores, like we used to have something in the Netherlands called Cool Cat. And Cool Cat was trying to be cool by having cool clothes and a lot of loud music, you know? So they were like, we're going for the young audience. Going inside a Cool Cat has always been a nightmare for me because I think neurotypical people's brains are able to filter out all the buzz. And that buzz is actually intended to create a certain atmosphere for neurotypical people. Or that works for neurotypical people to buy stuff because they have seen on TV, they saw this commercial on TV where the people wearing Cool Cat stuff were dancing with all this Cool Cat music. But for people like me, and it turns out there are a lot more people like me than usually has been assumed, it's just a nightmare. So online shopping is a blessing, or it could be a blessing. Unfortunately, when you create that same experience in an online shop, you'll lose people like me immediately. Sliders, animations, things going up and down, or people who totally went wonker bonkers with the parallax effect where the background moves slower than the foreground. It's horrible. And I always wondered, so one of the loudest things I ever said to a designer is, man, do you want color or do you want conversion, right? And I know people like to use web design as art, as a creative expression. I used to do that for many years. But if that creative expression is obstructing the functionalities, you lose customers. You know, this is not learning what it's like for people who are neurodivergent. If you rule them out, you rule out 10 to 15% of your potential audience. And I'm pretty sure just by observation, over the last couple of years, right? I'm from the 70s. I grew up without this bloody internet and this noise and this, and it was hard enough without that. I mean, we were competing with each other in school in the 80s, like who has the most colorful scarf? Who is wearing the most expensive cowboy boots? I grew up in the Hollywood of the Netherlands because my father was a famous animator. And there were so many kids showing off their riches and their, there were already enough impulses there without internet. Now, can you imagine someone screaming at you all day? There is noise all day. There is sensory impulses all day and you cannot shut down. And you come home at night and you really want to do some shopping. You don't want to go into that clothing store and you get exactly the same experience on a website. It'll make you run away. And if you look at some of the most or best converting websites in the world, you will see that they are actually, where it comes to the functionality, very minimalistic, very simple. Why? Because the majority of the world sees these things on a mobile phone. And this is where people say like, oh, websites can be so boring these days. All these templates look the same, right? This is because it's functional. Things have to have a certain order on a mobile phone, the work. And it's so hard to measure our group. The thing is, I will challenge anybody who's coming on the show or who wants to respond here. Let me put it differently, right? If you adjust your website, the experience to be nicely designed, but the function is not being hindered by whatever wham bam you've got going on in there, right? You will see that your bounce rate going down. And I challenge anyone to create an A-B test with a minimalist, or it doesn't even have to be minimalist, but very functional design compared to these big video backgrounds and whatever Yahoo have not. I assure you the bounce rate of the accessible and made the website made accessible is going to be a lot less. And I'm asking people to go and try and find that out for themselves, because saying that, oh, these people are not in my target group. I mean, there's so many people in my age, I'm 53 now, who have savings, who have money to spend, who might want to buy a Harley Davidson. I don't know. If your company sells Harley Davidsons or what other motorcycles, and your website is too unusable, I'm not going to buy it. Or like websites that still sell stuff for babies. Do you think it's the parents buying that stuff? Yeah, you should know that because you are a multiple grandmother, right? And this is, people will come to me and say, give me the numbers. Give me the numbers. Oh, there are so many mobile visitors over here. It can't be old people because old people do not do online shopping. Well,
I have a lot of people around me which have smartphones. They are organizing their hiking tours over chat groups like WhatsApp or whatever. And they're looking majority on a mobile phone or a tablet. So, and websites should be accessible, especially on tablets and mobile phones. So, yeah, that's totally crazy.
And what's interesting, because the young kids nowadays, they get so overstimulated that even if they're not neurodivergent, they're going to do things to their phone to make it quieter. I see many of them setting their phone to grayscale. People, I challenge you. If you have all these red bubbles saying here, one update here and three messages there, set your phone to grayscale. It's like coming home from the storm. There is silence. It's suddenly all these impulses are gone. And this is also a strong address to designers, because if you can create a design in that will convert while it's black and white, you are on the top of your group and you are actually serving people who are neurodivergent. I think the largest percentage of us.
I know, I guess you told me that But there's also the phrase accessibility benefits everyone. And as you already mentioned, if we create designs and content who are tailored or optimized to be really accessible from digesting, it benefits also someone who may identify or is neurotypical, as you mentioned, having not that overwhelm. Like you said, you got bombarded on daily basis with different impulses and whatever. And as you mentioned, you want to calm down when you come home. And so that is kind of difficult to comprehend and to digest. But when you were talking about this having this calming down and having this noise and so many different influences or experience from the outside. When I remember going to WordCamp or an event, and you said already you were also more on the introverted side, but you're going to an event and this stimulation, overstimulation of noise, even if we were talking about digital accessibility, but also no, you mentioned the store experience, this overwhelm of noises and permanent obstruction. It is kind of difficult. And someone who has ADHD or is on a spectrum, and as you mentioned, we are having so many things on our mind and we are so fast thinking and we are processing more from the outside than someone who is neurotypical. And it's kind of difficult to focus then on conversations or following up in a meeting, for instance, when there's in the background someone buzzing the bell on the door and you are wondering, oh, okay, I lost my thought, for instance. So what are your tips or recommendations or what would you love to see when you are attending in-person meetings or online meetings in conversations, which will help you to be more focused and bring in your best experience into a conversation so that it's less distractive in the background for it. So
I really need to distinguish between the online and the in-person meetings. And of course, this is very individual. But if I am in an online meeting and someone has ticking or snipping or whatever noises in their background, maybe it's their vet or maybe it's something else, my focus will go there and it will not go away. When people have bad audio quality, and of course, I understand, I'm not saying this in a judgmental way. We do not all have the funds to buy expensive microphones or expensive MacBooks or whatever gives you and me such great audio quality. But I am sometimes saddened by the fact when I see that people who actually do have this equipment, who are making a great effort in creating this podcast. I have several examples of those where the guests have bad audio quality, or if worse, the host, and there is a lot of flickering sound or it is echoing or whatever. My brain shuts down. It just shuts down. Now, this is a podcast recorded with video. I have a second chance. Or if it's, oh, let's say it's an online meeting and it's done in Zoom, I can turn on live captioning. It's not perfect, but it'll work. But I have a very peculiar form of dyslexia and I see words as shapes. I don't read the way normal people read, or what's normal is a bad word, but let's say neurotypical people read. I didn't know that until at a very late age. So when there are typos or there is no punctuation, my brain just goes, bye-bye, honey, I'm not going to do this, even if I want to. And then at the same time, this is incredibly tiring. And at first, I don't really notice it. You know, I remember sitting in a restaurant with a friend of mine, and it was this nice, calm restaurant. You can compare this to an online meeting, for example, that has all these little itches. And suddenly he was like, we were already done and we had dessert. We were in coffee. And he said, let's go outside. And I'm like, why? He said, because you've got your shoulders almost over your ears. You are so tense. And I can tell because the room here got more crowded and more crowded and more crowded and louder. And you have trouble hearing me. I can see it. But I don't see it, you know? So I avoid online meetings with more than one person because they drive me crazy. Where it comes to in-person meetings, let's take WordCamp as an example. I know it's hard to get everything right for everybody. I'm an organizer, a co-organizer of WordCamp Europe. I've done that for 3 consecutive years. And one of the first questions I will ask when I see the venue and I see the stage, how is the audio? Right? Because sometimes you go into a venue where the space is very large and it's very hard to contain and to control the audio. And when the space is not intended for a conference, when it's not a conference center with all these audio measures, it's actually a big challenge for the people who are building it up. And they're doing a fantastic job. They're working with whatever they have. But sometimes that's not enough. And so this year in Torino, I was not able to attend the talks because I couldn't process the sound. And I know it's probably the 80-20 rules that people apply. We can't be chocolate to everybody. You know, when I say we, I say this as a co-organizer of WordCamp. But at the same time, I feel for a lot of people who are like you and me, who are not able to attend the talks because of the external factors like the audio quality. It's not always easy. The one thing that I do want to emphasize, though, is that I know people are trying their best. And that's the other side. You know, when speaking for myself, when I walk out of a presentation, it's happened. People would come and run after me and say, why are you walking away? Are you okay? And I will say something like, yeah, but I won't be if I stay in there much longer. And that is not your fault. You can't change it. We can make, I have measures, you know, I've gotten great advice from Wendy Huisenfeld, who was a global lead this year. She told me about loops. You know them?
Yeah, I have them. I have a pair.
Yeah, I got 3 pairs. You know now, because that really works. What I find difficult is to, in situations where you are not in control and you have to bring it up, you know, it's like, I know I'm open about my situation because it is supportive of the work that I do, but it also feels very vulnerable sometimes. I mean, you don't want to tell everybody, like, what is the matter with you? You will run into a lot of prejudice. It's a very intimate thing.
I absolutely agree. And as you said, I think it's, on the other hand, really important that there are some people like you and me who are vocal about it, not to act as a role model on purpose. But I got some feedback that someone who really feels listened to, and that speaking about it and raising more awareness about it helps. So those voices who don't feel comfortable by sharing this, and it needs people like you and me who are more vocal and have the strengths built up over the years to vocalize it and express the concerns for events or digital accessibility. As we are going up towards already almost an hour, I would love to hear your advice. What can our listeners do today to contribute to more accessible web for everyone or the majority, especially in the e-commerce field? We talked about it already, but do we have some takeaways for our audience?
The first one is one that a lot of people don't want to hear because it costs money. Get it user tested. Get user groups, and do not only go for people who have visual impairments or auditory impairments or whatever, but go find this specific target group, because they will tell you whether your form is unclear. If that form is intended for you to convert into a sale, this is very important information. So make space in your budget to have this tested. And I'm used to bringing a message across, but there are many who are not so good at bringing it across or who are just plain blunt. I can be blunt too, you know it, right? But please look past the bluntness, because it is, put yourself in the shoes of your visitor, of your potential customer. It's not nice to get the door in your face all the time. So what things that you can do is tear the process apart into the pieces that it should have. Make content, content. And with content, I know there are a lot of listeners, you know, one of the things we tend to do is to use a lot of jargon, you call it in English, I think, or geek speak when it gets very technical. And we just assume that people know what is meant by content. It has a different meaning to everybody. But when I speak about content, I am talking about the information that the website is conveying. So it could be videos, images, texts, forms, call to actions. All of that is content. Make it perceivable. Make it robust. Links. Don't right click here, everybody. If you go through your website, for example, and you change every time you use click here inside the text into a link text that could stand on its own, you're not making small steps. You're making massive strides. Then the second thing is, do not underestimate the importance of alt text. And I know alt text is challenging for a lot of people. And of course, if you're from the old days of the internet, you still remember Netscape, you know, where you could say, oh, okay, download the images. It's taking up too much bandwidth. And you would have the descriptions of what was on it. You have to remember that, how do I say this kindly?
You can tell it also in blunt word.
Yeah.
I can try to translate it into more compassion.
Yeah, we tend to think in single things. So we tend to think like, oh, this person has ADHD, or this person is on the spectrum, or this person has visual impairment, or this person can't hear well. But the fact is, usually these things do not come alone. They come in pairs and triples and in all kinds of things. And I think the best advice I can give anyone is try to put yourself in the shoes of someone who is not always able to do what you can do. How do you feel when you get the door whacked in your face? How would you feel if you are coming up to a store and you see a lot of happy people inside that store and the sign says open, but the door is locked? And unlocking doors is actually quite simple for us. And now I'm speaking as a web designer and, again, writing functional designs, for example. Ask yourself, can someone go through this using a keyboard? Will it be understandable if I call my grandmother and I read this page to a grandmother? I tell her what's on this page. Will she say, oh, that's cool? Or is she like, you lost me 2 seconds ago? I think that's it. Put yourself in someone else's shoes. You are, when you are creating the web, super, super powerful.
Wow. Thank you so much. And really, to be honest, I learn every day so much only by getting advice like yours and also thinking about how I can improve on my personal level, on my personal side, but also by offering this channel here to talk about these topics to raise awareness.
You're doing a great job.
Oh, thank you. And I really admire that we have the opportunity to do that. So yeah, thank you for being my guest today. And
thank you for having me.
Very welcome. And I also want to thank our audience for tuning in, Do the Woo, the WordPress Way. And we hope today's conversation has sparked new ideas and inspired you to engage more deeply with our vibrant WordPress community. And also remember, DEIB stands for Diversity, Equity, Inclusion, and Belonging. And this isn't just about numbers. It's about making real changes that fosters a sense of belonging and respect for everyone. And please keep the conversation going by sharing this episode and join us again next month as we continue to explore more important topics around diversity, equity, inclusion, and belonging, and meet also the leaders and thought leaders driving this change, like Anne did. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so you'll never miss an episode. And until next time, please keep pushing the envelope and doing WordPress the right way.